Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, February 6, 2018. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
Hey, man. I am good today. Thank you so much for having me.
Excellent. I am so glad you're here. And Dave Hamilton, it's a pleasure to have you on today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, man.
Awesome. Well, my guess is with the topics that we have today, we'll be hard-pressed to keep within our time limits, so we should probably just hop right in, and let's look at some HomePod reviews. So HomePod ships this Friday, February 9th.
Yay!
Yes. Actually, it probably ships before that. It should arrive for many of us on Friday the 9th, but that's just nitpicking.
Mostly
pedantic.
Yeah. It's mostly
pedantic. Okay, so HomePod will be in stores on February 9th. And if they all ship on time, then they will be in our mailboxes or on our porches on February 9th as well. How does that sound?
I'm with you.
I approve this message.
All right. I'm feeling a lot better about the day already. Okay. So there are some news and blog sites that got a HomePod a few days early, and so their reviews are up. And I'd really love to get your reaction to these. So the trend that I saw through all the reviews, because I read several this morning, everyone loves the sound and everyone wishes that Siri did more.
Yeah, and that's been the consistent theme I've seen.
Yeah. And so that doesn't change with the reviews that I've been reading. Also, one of the complaints that came up was that the HomePod is locked into Apple's ecosystem more than any other product. And
really? More than any other product?
That's what the statement
is. Yeah.
Like,
that doesn't surprise me, right? Because if you don't have an Apple device, there is no way to play audio on this thing.
Oh, I was listening to that from the other direction, from the standpoint of how much of Apple's ecosystem you can actually use.
No, from the HomePod. Which is not what he said. It's locked in.
It's locked in. Yeah, okay. Right.
Because you can't even Bluetooth. No, you can't Bluetooth to this thing. And just so everyone knows, I'm not arguing that you should be able to. I'm just saying you can't. And the only way to get audio onto it is either audio that it gets itself, which is either from Apple Music or your iCloud music library, either via Apple Music or iTunes Match, or AirPlay, which again requires a compatible Apple device.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay.
Could someone make an AirPlay dongle that would take audio from another source and then, you know, translate it to AirPlay
can do that with the Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so someone could make it. Yeah. Like if Apple ends up selling a jillion of these things, someone could actually make a commercial product for that if they wanted to.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
I'm like, seriously, like a company like Audio Engine, that seems like that's right up their alley.
Audio Engine. I could see some of these other companies that have been doing similar audio things for a while coming up with something, but I could see that happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying that it's going to, and I'm not even saying that there's necessarily a market for it, but it seems like there are people who are going to want to connect non-Apple content to this thing.
There's Apple users that are going to want to connect non-Apple content, right? But your iPhone only. So if you want to play Spotify on this, the only way to do that on HomePod is to play it over AirPlay. But and that's non-optimal, right? Because it means your phone needs to be within range of your Wi-Fi network. And if your phone leaves, then your audio stops playing, right? It's the speaker would certainly be capable of streaming directly from Spotify. It's just not currently. But you know, again, this is to the point of that review. Yeah. It is locked into Apple's ecosystem now, just like the iPod was back then.
Yes.
You know, in its own way, but you couldn't sync to an iPod. There was no officially supported way to syncing to an iPod from Windows out of the gate. Obviously, that changed. And part of that was, you know, it was a FireWire device. Right? It wasn't even a USB device. It was a FireWire device. So, and most Windows machines didn't have FireWire. You had to buy a card and all that stuff. So, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, the thing that kind of stuck out to me from the reviews is everybody focused on the negatives of Siri, but I didn't really see examples of that.
One example that I saw was asking an Echo and a Google Home, who is the Prime Minister of England. And they got it, and Siri didn't. But when they said, who's the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, then Siri was able to do it. So that was the only example that I saw.
Okay, so this is because there's two limitations of Siri in the HomePod. One is just the general limitations of Siri, right? The other is the things that are not included in the feature set of Siri that is permitted or that is programmed into HomePod. Things like Jim Dalrymple gave the one example that he could not interface with his calendar on HomePod, which he thought was odd because, you know, it has access to his contacts and these other things, but calendar just isn't one of them. And, you know, I think a lot of that is kind of, as we've talked about before, Siri was never built to be a voice only interface. And anybody that's used Siri for any length of time has certainly encountered a scenario where you start doing something with Siri and then it says, yeah, cool, look at your phone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, I'm driving, you know, and it's frustrating at times, and at other times it's great. But that's just like Siri in general. But maybe like the calendar limitation is that. But other than that one thing, I didn't see people saying, oh, yeah, this thing I can do with Siri everywhere else. It's more them comparing Siri to the other out loud voice assistants that are far more mature in the market, like, you know, the A lady and the G lady. Mm-hmm. Right. So but even between them, things are not consistent. For example, the other day, I was just frustrated because, all right, we've got this new cat, right? That is, he's like staying up all, he's got a weird sleep schedule. That's really what it is. And so I asked, the A lady, you know, how do I alter my cat's sleep schedule? Just because I was frustrated. I did not expect any value in the answer I was going to get other than some distraction. And of course, her answer was, I don't know the answer to that question. So I figured, well, let's go around. And I asked, I asked our, you know, Google Assistant what to do. And it gave me like this very succinct yet cohesive answer with four things that we could try, including feeding the cat right before we go to bed, playing with it, like waking it up during the day, like all of these things. And that was like enough. It was a full encapsulated answer. And it said, and by the way, if you want to read more, I've put a link in your Google Home app for you to check later.
That's actually awesome.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And for that kind of stuff, Google Assistant blows away everything 100% of the time. Like it's always better for things like that. But for like home control right now, anyway, you know, the Echo units totally blow everybody else away.
Siri, am absolutely with you on that.
I haven't used HomePod yet, but Siri doesn't blow anybody away yet. The Siri is always the last one. I'm curious if now that Apple is, you know, has this HomePod excuse or reason to really focus on Siri, if we're going to see sort of remarkable improvements from that. And I don't know.
So like lots of points. First of all, I didn't want to interrupt your monologue, but in Apple's marketing speak, the things that Siri can do are called domains. Just to throw that out there.
Ah, thanks. Yeah, right? Sure.
And the things that Siri cannot do are also called domains. Right? I mean, so Apple breaks down different areas where Siri can interface, and each one of those is called a domain, and Apple strictly controls what domain Siri has access to, and even Siri on individual devices, to wit Jim's complaint and Dave's very excellent explanation. The other thing is that I've long argued that Apple needed a search engine just to start getting user data and how to understand what the heck people mean when they say things. Right? I've been arguing this for a very, very, very long time. Now, Apple, of course, says that it's getting, is it 2 billion Siri requests a day or a week?
Yeah. But nobody uses Siri to search for it. I can't imagine that people routinely use Siri to search for information.
No one does it the second or third time.
Yes, exactly. Right. Because it's like, oh, I'm going to bring you to Bing and search for that. Like, okay, thanks. Yeah.
I really appreciate that. So Apple is getting data from like people, the way people speak. And that actually is probably tremendously valuable. Right.
Because definitely.
The way people speak is important, because we all say the same thing in about a jillion different ways. But gosh, it seems like Google has such an incredible advantage over Apple when it comes to
over everyone
AI in terms of data. Apple may have better scientists, may or may not. Right. Apple.
It could change by the day. Right.
It could. Sure. Exactly. But when it comes to the underlying data, Google just has this huge, massive advantage.
Massive.
Yes, they do.
But the sound quality of this thing, if I can take us in that direction, Jeff. Mm-hmm.
Yes, please.
That's the thing of these reviews that has really impressed me. Now, to be fair, I think only one of the reviews that you found and me too is from a hi-fi or an audio source, right? That was what hi-fi's review. Mm-hmm. And they were balanced in what they said. They liked the audio. They said, what was it? Weighty and authoritative, but they said the mid-range was a little bit, muddled. Said
muddled. Yeah.
Yep. Which totally makes sense, because you've got tweeters to take care of the high end, and you have a larger speaker to take care of both the low end and the mid range. So like you're sharing here. It's just the way sound works. Now that said, you can get great sound out of a single speaker as well, but you certainly can't do that in multiple directions. So Apple had to make some decisions there about, how they wanted to do that. Other than that, even including that, everybody really seems to like the sound. Mm-hmm. The only complaint I saw, or at least the way it came across to Dave, the guy who thinks a lot about sound, is that people really want a 3-band EQ on this thing, right? What Hi-Fi said, the mid-range was muddled. A high mid low EQ on this to tweak down the middle might solve that for them. The Wall Street Journal says they want to turn down the bass. Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Problem solved if you can tweak that. And it's always sort of made me scratch my head. Like JBL's Link series, they're smart speakers. They sound great. And they have Google Assistant built into them, which is also great. But you can't tweak the sound, which is just weird. Now, giving people, a 32-band graphic EQ or some sort of parametric EQ on the thing, no, that would be like crazy. But even like Sonos, right? They have their TruePlay tech, which uses your iPhone, not at the speaker, but throughout the room to automatically tune the sound of the speaker. That works great. And then after you TruePlay it, it gets it to essentially Sonos's reference levels for that speaker, which is good. It sort of tunes out any weird, you know, nuances of your room. But then you also have bass and treble controls to tweak to your liking, season to taste. That doesn't seem to exist in HomePod based on the reviews I'm seeing.
I'm guessing not. And I would, based on that, I would love to be able to walk into my living room and say, hey, S lady, the bass is too much. And then it gets dialed back a little bit.
Well, yeah, that's interesting.
Some kind of animal. That's nowhere near enough control.
But, you know, same thing.
But no, but that's the control the people need.
Yeah, that's true. You're exactly right. And actually, it kind of speaks exactly. One of the things that I was thinking, Dave, when you were sort of going through what the reviews have been saying is that we're all different. Right.
Exactly.
We all want different things. And we actually also want to be able to control our things differently.
Yeah. Yeah. We have different preferences. We're all deaf in different ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like
biased in different ways.
Exactly. Yeah. So to get, with Sonos, you get essentially what, you know, Giles Martin and his team have decided is the way a speaker sounds good. And he tuned it based on his reference monitors that he uses in his studio at, you know, Abbey Road or whatever. And that's great. But I might want a little more low end than him. And in fact, I talked to him about it at one point and said, yeah, I feel like the low end actually was a little too much on TruePlate speakers. And he said, that's interesting. You're not alone because they capture all that data in aggregate. He said, I think an update to TruePlate is actually going to turn down some of that for people that haven't already tweaked it out. It's like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So, yeah. So, I mean, and this is a speaker company, right? Sonos is. They grok that, you know, a little bit of fine tuning. That's not even fine tuning. That's gross tuning, right? It's ham fisted. You get highs and lows, nothing else. But it does give you the ability to just, you know, kind of reel it in. I don't know.
All right.
You think that'll be the sort of thing that comes from the HomePod later? Do you think Apple will eventually give us some sort of EQ control?
No, I don't think they will. I think Apple, you know, I mean, this is Apple, right? They prefer not to give you anything that they don't feel everyone needs.
Well, the iPhone and iTunes have long had EQ controls.
True. But they inherited those from a time when Apple decided that that was something to include at the outset. Right. So
that is a fair point. I guess we're listening to it wrong.
Yes, clearly, exactly.
Yes. So one thing that stood out to me from the reviews was that no one talked about sound changing if they were moving the HomePod around rooms. The biggest thing that I saw about rooms was in one of the reviews, they said, yeah, we put it in a 20-foot by 30-foot living room with wall to wall carpet, and it just didn't fill the room the way we wanted. But nothing about, well, when I moved it to this other table, the sound changed dramatically. So I'm finding that interesting. It's sounding like Apple may have done a really good job with getting this dynamic audio configuration thing happening and to work.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like they've, for the most part, kind of, you know, nailed that, which is good. I mean, it, like, people shouldn't have to think about how to tune their sound, you know, and to me, that's different from I want more bass versus, gosh, is the EQ right? Like, am I in a weird pocket here? Like, most people, if they start thinking about that, are going to head themselves down a path of making their audio sound worse. Like, it just, we will overcorrect, and it really is something left for, I don't want to say trained professionals, but experienced people who have failed a lot and, you know, learned from that. So to have the speaker do that for you, and also, you know, figure out how to balance and send stereo sound around, that's pretty cool. I'm really eager to check that part out.
Me too. And yes, I will be moving mine around to different places in my living room to see what happens to the sound. I'm looking forward to experimenting with that. We got so wound up in HomePod, we have run out of time. So we're going to have to wrap up. Dave, thanks so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Yep.
And listeners,
let's talk about the Center for Humane Technology tomorrow on ACM.
You know, you read my mind. Yes, that was our second topic for today, Center for Humane Technology. So if you want to hear our discussion about that, you need to listen to tomorrow's Apple Context Machine. Is that where we said we're going to do it?
Yep, that's where you said it. Yeah.
Okay, just wanted to make sure that I was remembering the right show. There's so many, it's hard to keep track sometimes. Anyhow, listeners, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for listening. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.